just as soon as he's ready.
Almost impeccable timing. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. About 15 years ago, I ran an institution, and in this institution I was training therapists. And I would train therapists how to do therapy. And I would teach them about attitudes and things to watch for. I would teach them tools and techniques that I learned over the years. One thing that we always watched for, well, there were two things. It was Christmas time. And we would say around the holidays, we had to put up our alarms for suicide because it was starting around Thanksgiving, people got tremendously depressed. And that the highest potential suicide time was around Christmas and New Year's. So the therapists would be told, you know, this is not a time to take vacation. This is the time when you're most needed by your people, but you might notice most therapists take a vacation around Christmas and New Year's, which is kind of a funny time. It's like that's when people bleed the most. That's when people need you the most. There is a second time that we would also watch for. And I remember this vividly because year after year, we would have to bring up the issue of Mother's Day. Why Mother's Day? What's so big about Mother's Day? It's just an artificial day. It's just a day that Hallmark kind of brings to you. Why Mother's Day? Because feelings towards one's mother can trigger enormous positive, well, mostly negative feelings about yourself. Yep. And we would find the other part of it is, since most of the trainees as therapists were women at the time, nowadays not so true, they would be caught in what's called a transference. And a transference in psychotherapy is when somebody ascribes to the therapist feelings that they had about other authority figures that may happen to be of the same sex. So, for example, if you had a male therapist, you may ascribe to him feelings that you had towards your father or feelings that you may think he has towards you from your father. And then if it was a woman, very often you would see her as your mother in one form or another. And many of you who have women therapists know you think of that therapist as a kind of a mama in her own way. So the therapist had to be very cautious around Mother's Day because two things were coming in their direction. One thing is they had to be concerned about the patient itself and how the patient was feeling and how they were feeling about their mothers, how they were dealing with Mother's Day. But in addition, they would have to be aware of the relationship between them and the patient, which may include some of these transferential dynamics, you know? So we'd sit around and talk about it. Most therapists I know don't even think about it. Other therapists I know spend this entire week saying, let's talk about your mother and your feelings towards your mother. So I thought, well, let's talk about your feelings towards your mother. Let's do a show. Let's do a program. Let's open this up. Let's see how many angles we could look at. So today I'm going to talk about you and your mom. And if you're already afraid of this conversation, go switch the dial. If you don't want to hear it, it means you got a lot of stuff you don't want to deal with. I understand completely. Wait for the break, tune in for the music, and then go away again. But if you want to learn about yourself, you got to learn where you want to duck. And it's wherever you feel like ducking, that's an area you should investigate. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Let's say you have a mom who's alive. And some people have moms who are alive, some people have moms who are not alive. Let's deal with living mothers. If you have a living mother, I have the following question. Do you like her? What a funny question. Do you like your mom? Do you like her? Yeah, I like my mom. Why? She's a nice lady. Would you want to be her friend? Well, I'm not sure. What would be missing? If she lived on the same block where you lived, would you make a dinner date and go out with her just to talk? These are questions that kind of show you where you stand with them. Maybe you don't want to have a friendship with your mother. Maybe you just want to have a mommy. I want you to stay my mother. I don't want you to become my friend. You know, one of the disadvantages of being able to have a straight conversation with your mother is about anything, when you talk about anything, including her sexuality. That's it. You lose your mommy. Now she's like your girlfriend. So let's say you have a mom. Do you like her or don't you like her? There's a good question. If you don't like her, can you say you love her but don't like her? Some people could say that. There are other people who have moms who were, as a result of a divorce, they went with their fathers and they don't know where their mom is, and mom doesn't contact them. So you could have a mom and you don't know where she is. Or you could have a mom who has dementia. That's a real incredible thing. Because there you have someone who can't recognize you, who can't show you the affection, who can't be your mother. She could just be your mother legally, but she can't mother you because she can't even remember you, doesn't even know who you are. Here's a question I have about you and your current mother. Do you trust your mother? It's a great question. Of course you trust your mother, right? Trust her more than just about anybody? Well, I don't know. Do you trust her with details about your personal life? If you were married and flirting with an affair, would you tell your mother? Interesting questions. Kind of opens up this whole issue of what is mom all about? And who started this whole thing in the first place? Mother's Day in the United States dates back, believe it or not, 150 years ago, when an Appalachian mother, Annie Jarvis, organized a day to raise awareness of poor health conditions in her community. It was an activist movement. Mother's Day, originally. Annie Jarvis, right? She called it Mother's Work Day. That was originally it. 15 years later, Julia Howe, you've heard of her, a Boston poet, pacifist, is a great suffragist. She was known, Julia Howe, had similar ideas after the Civil War when she attempted to create a formal Mother's Day for Peace. She called it Mother's Day for Peace, which was to encourage mothers to rally for peace because she believed they bore the loss of human life more harshly than anyone else. So she wanted to get together the grieving mothers after the Civil War. When Annie Jarvis died, her daughter Anna began to lobby businessmen and politicians to create this kind of special day, kind of in honor of her mother, Annie Jarvis, and in honor of mothers. And the first such Mother's Day was celebrated in Grafton, West Virginia, on May 10th, 1908. Before that, it didn't exist. No Mother's Day. In 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a bill recognizing Mother's Day as a national holiday. So what's it about? What is Mother's Day about? What's the idea? Is the idea you're going to buy your mother presents? Is the idea honor your mother? Is the idea hold your mother responsible for all that she's done wrong? Not a bad idea. What about your mom? Did she make mistakes? Are you angry at your mom? Ask yourself that question. You should be able to find a yes in there somewhere. We're going to take your calls today. Be talking to you about this stuff because I think there's a lot that you have to say about it. And because since we're entering our fund drive next week, I want to be able to get as many of you talking to us as we possibly can. So let's say your mom is alive. Well, how about this if your mom died? A lot of people, their mom dies, they glorify their mom. They put her up on a pedestal. Oh, she was such a great lady. And you'd see only the good news about her. Or some other people vilify their mothers. What a miserable lady. She was terrible, you know, and you suddenly get all the feelings. Some people do that, although that's rare. But if your mom is gone, Mother's Day tends to trigger an unusual feeling, a feeling of loneliness. If you're someone who knows of a mother's death or has had a mother who died, you're going to remember a feeling that I know, that you know. There is something about when your mother dies that makes you a motherless child. And it's kind of funny in the world, you know? I mean, in the animal kingdom, you and your mother, you're together for a little period of time, then you go off, and you're separated from your mother, and you don't even know who she is anymore. You go away, you could go to the other side of the globe. When you come back, you may or may not recognize her. Maybe, maybe will, maybe won't. You know, during Shakespeare's time, he talked about one of the great problems is people would separate from their kin and not know who was your brother, who was your father, who was your mother, right? Because there would be problems because people would fall in love with somebody and it could turn out to be their brother. But your feeling towards your mom, your feeling, your connection to her, is that a solid thing? Well, this feeling of when your mom dies is a funny feeling. It's almost cellular. You feel it. Suddenly you've changed. When both of your parents die, you become an orphan. Now, not an orphan like a baby child orphan, but you have no parents. Stephanie Dombro was talking earlier about, she said, what about people who have no cousins, no relatives, no uncles, no aunts? What about people who have no children? And then suddenly, when their mother dies, there's nobody that they're truly connected to. What about those folk? Any of those folk out there? So these are part of what happens, part of what I want to examine in your feelings towards your mom. I want you to think about the best, very, very best time that you ever had. Think of one incident where you and your mom had a great thing happen. I remember a time my mother and I went scuba diving, right? And you just make it up and you tell us the story. I want you to tell us a story about a great event with your mom. That's going to be your entry. You have to talk about a great event if you had one. If you don't have one, then we can talk about that as well. You know, Candide, the book Candide, or Voltaire's book in French. I remember we had to read it in French because it was part of our, we were taking French literature, and it said the first line is, aujourd'hui, ma mère est morte. The first line of the book is, today my mother died. And the protagonist of the book goes on to talk about how life changed from that moment on, from the moment of the death. 212-209-2900 is our number here. 212-209-2900. Now, have you become your mother? Have you become just like her? Is that something you said you'd never do and then you became just like her? Practical, removed, separated, over-attached. as a parent, how are you? What do you expect on Mother's Day? Do you expect on Mother's Day that somebody comes and honors you? Do you expect that somehow you have to be given some kind of a wonderful celebration because you brought children into this world? Do you expect something? What do you expect from your children? What if your children are too busy to see you? What if your kid wants to go to a baseball game instead of being with you on Mother's Day? Do you get mad at them? 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls in just a minute. I would like to hear from you two things. Do we have, I want to know two things. Can you give me one good memory that you have? Do you have any, can you give me one good memory? And could you tell me about a great memory? And what are your feelings towards her? 212-209-2900. There is another part of this that we should look at. Because many women become depressed on Mother's Day because of infertility, a death of a child of theirs. Not every mom is close to her children, which can make Mother's Day very, very depressing. And many children feel sadness and despair because they're estranged from their parents due to something. Other reasons for depression on Mother's Day have included children who are soldiers fighting overseas, struggling with an illness in a hospital. Well, let's see what you've got for us. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Dr. DeMille.
Hi there.
I'm BJ from Queens.
Hi, BJ.
It's good to talk to you. Thank you so much for bringing this memory. I lost my mom. But before I get into it, the best memory I have of my mom, the memory that I choose to keep in her, in my heart of her, is she always bring me throughout my life, as a child and as a young man and as an older person, she'd always bring me a bunch of washed grapes at the end of a dispute when we couldn't talk. She'd start things by bringing me a bunch of grapes.
Where did that come from? Where did that tradition come from?
When I was a little boy on the beach, she'd bring fruit.
Oh. What a delight, especially if you're on the beach because it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Where was the beach?
Well, she'd save up and we'd go down the Jersey Shore or we'd go to the Rockaways.
And Mom would bring you fruit. She'd bring you some. She'd bring you a sweet, wet nectar. She'd replenish you with water and with sugar, and it was a loving moment.
And no words.
And no words. You didn't need the words.
She didn't.
Just a couple of grapes.
That was it, pal. I was very fortunate to and blessed. That's my memory.
When did you lose her?
A year ago, October. She was infirmed. She in assisted living for a lot of years, and she was, she got a stroke, and she worked until she was like 76, and then she was in assisted living for about 4 years. My brother took care of her. And he flew in from California every weekend to Florida to take care of her. And she was worth it.
She sounds like a remarkable person, BJ. Where was she buried?
Oh, she's buried near me. I see her from time to time.
I thought so.
Yeah.
How often do you go?
I try and go like once a month. Mm-hmm. And I go over. I have a brother she got. Who died very young, too, and she's buried with him.
Well, so, do you ever bring grapes?
I do.
Yeah, I can just picture it.
You figured that one out, huh?
I sure could, BJ. You go there with grapes in your hands. It's your way of keeping in contact. What a beautiful gift you've given us, PJ. Thank you. Next time you go see your mom, say hello from me too, would you?
Shall do.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Sure. How tender. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Erica. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Erica?
Yes.
Hi, Erica.
Hi. I was calling, my fondest memory with my mom was when I was younger, I was in love with this group called New Edition.
Uh-huh.
And I remember she took me to two concerts back to back. And I remember, it's weird, I think she sat behind me, and I don't even remember her at the concert, but I remember she wasn't crazy about it, but I thought it was really awesome that she took me to two concerts. It was like maybe a couple of weeks apart from each other, and she took me to the, I was maybe, oh my goodness, I was maybe like 10, 11 maybe, and I remember she took me to those concerts, and I thought that was like, that was a great summer.
And what did you, I mean, this was not her kind of music.
No, it was, I mean, this is like teeny bopper music, you know. This is like little kiddie music. I had, you know, I was in love with them. I had pictures of them all over my wall. I used to buy the little Ride-On magazine. They were like little teen magazines and everything. And I remember she got tickets, and she didn't drive. So she got, I think, one of her friends drove us there. So we went to one concert, and then she surprised me. I think a couple of weeks later, we went to another venue and saw like the same group again.
Yeah. So what would you say made her do that for you?
She loved me, and she wanted to make me happy. And you know, we always did stuff together. I'm the youngest of three, and me and my siblings are 7 or 8 years apart. So I think that I grew up with her differently than my brother and my sister did. They were already out of the house when I was coming up. So I always, you know, sometimes the memories that I have with my mom is different than the memories that my sister has with my
mom. How are they different? Your mom was angry. Your sister was angrier at your mom.
No. I just think it's right before. Well, my mom passed when I was 14, so the memories that I have with her are, you know, to 15, to 14. The memories that my sister has when, you know, or when she was 20, you know, when she was, you know, she was already out of the house. She was dating guys. You know, she was about to get married. So it's kind of, you know. The way our memories are a little, you know, skewed sometimes. We don't really talk about our mom memories with our mom that much because it's kind of different. Because during my teenage years, I was with my grandmother. So when I think about those years, I think towards my grandmother and my sister. When she thinks about her teenage years, she thinks more about my mom.
So do you and your sister avoid the discussion?
We don't necessarily avoid it. We just don't talk about it. And on Mother's Day, I kind of go numb. I don't even think about
why?
It.
Why do you go numb?
I don't know. I don't even realize sometimes it's Mother's Day until somebody tells me or my boyfriend, you know, says, oh, I got to call my mom or something. But my sister knows it's Mother's Day weeks, you know, because she hates it. And I usually
she hates it for what reason?
She just doesn't like Mother's Day because she misses our mom so much.
Because the pain of it is so big.
Yeah, the pain is too
that
much.
That hurts her. And she doesn't have you. You see, your sister doesn't even have you. Because if you had your arms to put around your sister at that time, she wouldn't hate it so much. And if she had you to put her arms around, you wouldn't have to be so numb. So maybe, Erica. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for you and your sister to celebrate each other just once on Mother's Day.
That would be a big struggle.
Big struggle.
My sister doesn't even turn her phone on. It's a known fact that you just don't. I just don't, and I speak, because me and her are the, when we don't have any other family, it's just me and her.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so we talk to each other every day. If I don't talk to her, she'll call and leave a message and say,
so when are you going to talk to her?
About Mother's Day?
About, yeah, can I spend Mother's Day with you, sis?
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Erica. Somebody here's got to change things. So you get less numb, and she gets less sad. And you hold each other's hand, and maybe listen to the New Edition.
You know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to see if we'll do something this weekend.
Good, because it make a nice difference. You only have each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it's what you're saying. And instead of being numb or getting depressed, sometimes you got a resource right there. You don't have to talk about Mom. You could just be each other's mom for that time.
I'm gonna muster up the courage from somewhere and try to do it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. Yes, sometimes we have to make a change, and the change is really obvious. You know, changes are good. Let's take one more quick call. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Snuck that. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Well, I guess I didn't sneak that.
Hi there. Armand DeMille.
Hmm.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi. How do you want to say a good moment?
Yes, tell me a good memory of you and your mom.
It was a tough decision for me. I have some good ones, but I decided to stay with the time that she decided to go and see me performing. I've been a dancer for most of the part of my life. And until that moment, she never went to see me. And I think that day was a very important day in my life.
Someday she came to see you as a dancer?
Yeah.
She had never seen you, and then one day she showed up. Where were you? Where were you performing?
Well, I was in Cuba at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I became a very, very, very strong follower of Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I decided to do this kind of performances in my country, which was a little bit weird. So she knew about it. She knew of my fanatism, if you want to call it that way, which I don't like. But she really never really saw me in that type of environment. She never really appreciated what the people that used to go and see me was.
Well, listen, you're going to have to stay with us. What's your name?
My name is Guillermo. I have talked to you before.
Guillermo, yes, Guillermo. What was the song that she saw you perform?
Oh, wow. That's a very good question. The Way You Make Me Feel.
What was it?
The way you make me feel.
Sure. Guillermo, we're going to be back with you in a couple of minutes. We have to take a short break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk to you more about this. Guillermo, you're from New Jersey, aren't you, Guillermo?
Yes.
I thought so. Good. Hold on a second. We're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes, but stay on the phone.
Gonna win the fight. Hold on, your coat. gonna be all right. You're gonna make the flight. When you're by yourself and there's no one else, you just have yourself and you tell yourself just to hold on. See the light. Oh, and when you're warm, really warm, well, you get things done like they've never been done. So hold on.
Well, Guillermo, how's that?
I knew it.
You knew what?
I knew that you would play the song.
You know me so well. I know you so well. I remember when you were going to take Maria and carry her from one place to another.
I know.
You're a very generous man, Guillermo. So, Guillermo, when you think about your mother, when you think about her, what happens to you?
Good question, because you were saying a lot of things before at the beginning of the show that I felt related to it. And I was asking this question to myself while you were saying them. I was trying to answer them. And I think I was pretty honest with myself, and I answered them all.
And what do you see? What do you find? Both you're angry at her?
Yeah. I mean, I'm being angry, and I love her, and I mean, I guess all kinds of emotions.
All kinds of emotions, which is what most people feel with their families. And Guillermo, you're at least brave enough to say, this is what I want, you know? I want to have a real memory, not just a fantasy, because people like to have fantasies about their parents. But it was great that day she showed up in Cuba, huh? It was great.
I think I did that for a while, though, man.
Yeah.
That fantasy, you know, like I was trying to make myself believe that I have this super extra special relationship, and I didn't really look at it as, you know, my relationship with my mom, period, you know.
That's it. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Guillermo.
Thank you.
Are you going to dance again, or is that, or have you stopped?
Well, I did it here for a while. Have my daughter stop, and I became a dancer for my daughter.
Well, how about right now? You think if I gave you a minute? Come on, stand up.
Oh, yes, I do. Believe me.
Go ahead, I'm giving it to you. Take the minute. Whatever you're doing, we know Guillermo is standing up in honor of his mom and all moms and WBAI and Maria. Let's see, Guillermo, you got it. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I've spoken to you many years ago. And back then, I told you a little bit about myself. I have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to you then that I had a memory of when I was about 14 going to my mother with a paper or a poem. And I'm one of six, so I'm the oldest of six children. And she said to me, she was in the kitchen, and she said to me, and my name is Kelly, by the way.
Kelly.
She said, Kelly, do you realize you're the only one that does this to me? And then you had to ask me, where was your father in all of this? And, you know, he hadn't come home from work then, at that time. But, I mean, I don't know.
But when she said that to you, she meant you're the only one that tortures me like this. Or
well,
you're
yeah,
the only,
just
only one.
Up my time in this way.
You're the
you
only
know, they
foolish kid.
Me.
Look at what you do to me. My
yeah,
gosh.
And I'm the oldest. You know, like, you know, and I have my whole life. I've had very serious issues with my mother, but I have happy memories too. You said to think of a happy memory, and there's several. One I'll just say is, I went to a cousin's wedding with my parents. I was probably in my early to middle 20s, and. There was a dance at the reception after the wedding, and I went, I asked my mother to dance, and there was a polka, and we danced the polka together, and I had never done it before. I just had watched people do the polka, and, you know, I had taken a course in ballroom dance when I was in college, and I just, you know, wung it, you know, I just winged it, and it worked,
like
it went really well. She followed, I led, and she followed. And we went all the way around the dance floor at least once, doing the polka. And that was a great memory.
Sounds like a great idea, you know? Wonderful being able to dance a polka with your mama. That's a nice
idea. I had never done
it
before. I had never danced a polka with anyone before. I didn't even know how to do it. I just watched other people do it, and I had some experience with ballroom dance, and I thought, let me try this, you know? And it was a great, great memory.
Because there was a joy that you two shared, which is beyond words. You got beyond words. You got to sharing something together that went beyond all these miserable words that people so often say to each other. You know?
Yeah. And she had, you know, now it's really sad now because I visited her with her on Sunday with my sister and my sister's boyfriend. And it turns out my mother has a rapid onset form of Alzheimer's called vascular dementia.
Yes.
And it's real sad. Because, you know, she is not doing well. She's living alone in a house in a retirement village in New Jersey. And, you know, it's a very sad thing. And she has
sad in
such
what way?
Power.
Sad in what way?
Well, because...
is she unhappy?
The thing is, she's been a widow for 26 years.
Uh-huh.
And that whole time she's lived alone, mostly in this retirement village. And she managed really well.
So let me ask you again, Kelly, is she unhappy?
I can't tell.
Right.
I don't know.
Probably
she's
not.
She's angry. She has pain. She has great pain, head pain, arm pain, foot pain. I don't know if she's happy. I tend to think she is not happy.
Okay, but she does have physical pain. Because very often, you know, people who are in that condition, they don't have a lot of pain. And the one who's unhappy is us. Looking at them.
You're right, yes. That's true. I mean, she's preoccupied, though. I mean, in her mind, she's thinking things that, you know, are not really verifiable.
Sure.
And I'll give you an example. I was there Sunday, and I overheard her talking to my sister and insisting that there was a paper with her signature on it, and she knows that she did not sign it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it has... Her handwriting is
sure,
her name.
Sure, that happens.
But she
absolutely.
Did not sign it. Huh?
Absolutely. I watched someone the other day who was convinced that a nurse's call button was really a speaker, you know, and that it really was, they were listening in on her. Of course, that's what your mind does.
And you know, she fired her third live-in home health aide Saturday. So, you know, she doesn't want that. She doesn't want anybody living with her anymore. She doesn't want that.
Sure.
And she wants to maintain control, but she's losing control. Her mind is just not working.
See,
right.
So the worst part of this is, yes, for her it's not so good, but it's terrible on your side. You get so angry with her. You get so frustrated with her. You wish you could shake her, and you know it's not her fault. Very, very tough. And you didn't get much loving when you were young.
Not really, no.
You know?
No, I was one of six children.
And now
she had to divvy up all the attention among the six of us, my father. And
actually, she had to divvy it up among the five of them. You didn't get any of it. You were just assumed to be okay because you were the oldest.
Yeah, and I had many, many problems, and many of them centered around my relationship with my mother, and I'm aware of that. You know, I was in therapy for 20 years.
So how are you going to handle this Sunday?
No, I did it already. I mean, this past Sunday, that's when I visited her.
Good.
I don't know. I don't even have a car. I live on disability. I have rental assistance in my apartment. I live in a town about maybe 20 miles from her, and I have not been in the habit of visiting her anyway. I usually see her once a year at Christmas, and the idea of seeing her last Sunday was, you know, I knew something was up. My sister was really involved in this, and my sister and my other sister, I have two sisters, and three actually, two of them are working together on trying to arrange care for my mother, and I am just not in a position at all to handle any of this.
Kelly, I understand completely. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing this with us.
Yeah, well, thank you. I love your show. I listen to it a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, you take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello. Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
This is Anna, and the fondest memory of my mother is we survived a war together. And the American troop came in, and I was really sad because we lost family members. And she came in with a bunch of flowers. I don't know where she got the flowers in the war. She told me that the war was over and that the American troops were there.
Now, wait, where was this?
This was in Kosovo.
Right, and she said the war is over and the American troops are here.
Yeah, because she heard it from, I guess, in the news or radio.
In Kosovo before that period of time.
It was, yeah.
Were the two of you close or were you separated?
No, we were close. We were in the shelter staying during the war in the knots in the woods.
And where's your mom now? Is your mom still alive?
She is alive. She's overseas.
And how do you feel? Do you miss her? Do you feel him?
I miss her terribly. Yeah, I was very close to her.
And how do you keep contact with her?
I call her every day, every morning.
Every day?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. If I miss a day, she would wonder what's going on, and she will call me.
What a beautiful thing.
But I try to call her every morning.
What a beautiful thing. And next time you call her, she may think you're crazy, but would you tell her Armand said hello, too?
I will.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Anna.
Thanks.
212-209-2900. Every day, I speak to her. We're going to take another call as soon as we get past this dial tone. There we go. Hi there, you're on the air. Yes, hello.
Oh, hi, Armand.
Hi there. Who is this?
Hi, my name's Teresa.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi. First, I just want to say that I have always appreciated your show. It's meant a great deal to me for many years. And I missed the earlier part because I'm out on the road, but I hear you talking about mothers. And
I'm talking about Mother's Day and the feeling of Mother's Day and the different feelings that people have towards their mothers, alive or dead. And I ask people to call with a fond memory of one great time with their mother, but still, if they had negative feelings, to express that as well. Trying to make Mother's Day real.
Yeah, Mother's Day is a tough time for me. I lost my mom in 98 to breast cancer, and I probably miss her more than ever as time goes by. And probably because I'm a mother myself, and I have a 10-year-old daughter who would have, you know, it's just that my mother and my daughter missed out on one another, and not because she was my mother, but she was wonderful. She was a beautiful person inside and out, and ultimately became one of my closest friends. So it's a very tough time. I've, you know, I've learned how to, I guess, learn to how to accept it. I can't even accept it. It's a very hard thing to accept.
Accept what? That your mother's no longer there?
Yeah, yeah. I my mom was only 63 when she passed away, and you know, she just she was such a woman that was full of life and love, and I just miss that too much. And it's just irreplaceable. I have a lot of great memories with my mother.
Where is your mom buried?
Out here on Long Island.
And when's the last time you went to see her?
I don't go to the cemetery too often. I have...
Because it brings up too much pain?
Yeah, I mean, I went through a lot with it, you know. And, yeah, my dad's there now, too, so...
Oh, so you've got a whole... You're an orphan.
Yeah, I know. I'm 47, and does that qualify as an orphan? I don't know.
I think it does, because your mom and dad are there. So I have a solution for you.
Yeah.
You want a solution?
Okay.
You have a lot of feelings that you don't want to face, which I fully understand. But the problem with not facing your feelings is they're going to go impacted inside. And they're going to manifest in some way with your children. We want to keep you clear.
Yeah.
So I want to keep you clear. I don't want you to tell your daughter any more about what a wonderful grandmother she had. She could have had. Let's leave that off the table.
She asks me about her a lot, you know,
I know. Let's leave that alone for a while. I want you to go to the cemetery by yourself. But you have to bring something.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bring grapes. I want you to bring some grapes. And I want you to eat some grapes while you're there with both your parents. I learned this trick from another caller. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And let yourself say goodbye to them.
Well, you know, my dad, I came to terms with more because he was around for almost 7 years, and he had vascular dementia and stuff, too, and chronic depression. And I watched him, you know, suffer, and he was in a lot of pain after my mom died for a long time. And my daughter misses him immensely, too, because we were very close. But my mother's just is much more difficult for me to deal with. I actually came in and saw Roberta several years ago, and we had a session regarding my mother and letting go. And it's just the hardest thing. I mean, how do you let go of your mother? You know, I can't let go of her. And, you know, it's just tough. So it's worse than tough. But, you know, I get along. You know, you get along. You have to, you know, move on. But it's just tough. You know, there are moments where it's tougher than others, you know.
Teresa, stay in touch with your heart, but don't forget the grapes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Thanks
for
calling.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
212-209-2900. That was Frank who told me about the grapes. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi.
Hi.
BJ. Hi there. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, fantastic. This is Martha. Armand, I'm driving on the New Jersey Turnpike up from Florida. I've never heard your show before, even
never.
Though I'm from New York. No. And here I hear, I'm turning the dial, and I hear your voice, and I hear your love, and I feel your heart and your soul, and I am so happy to be listening today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you. I wish you were my mom.
What's your name?
Martha.
Martha, so tell me about you and your mom.
My mother and I had we battled from the time I was a teenager, and right up until a few years ago, we were like water. A lot of heartache, alcoholic family, both parents.
Tough stuff.
Violence, emotional abuse, crazy. My mother went crazy at a certain point. And so it's taken me the better part of my adult life to heal from this, and I'm happy to report that I am whole today. And at 57 years old, I've never felt better about life. I'm excited and passionate. I'm writing songs. I'm living my dream. And my mother got cancer years ago in 2004, I had just moved to California. I got the call, and I put on my Mighty Mouse cape, and I flew to New York. And I ended up staying there for about, you know, a couple of years, and I took care of her. And I have one happy memory. And I couldn't stand to be in the same room with her for 5 minutes, and I had to build up tolerance every time I'd go to the apartment, you know. And then in the course of a year, somehow, through the grace of God, we managed to fall in love with each other. And we never talked about anything. We never worked it out. We never slogged through the past of the pain of the past. But it happened. And my mother became my greatest fan. And I remember crying. I remember walking in one day, and I had my ukulele with me. And I just wanted to play the song that I had written. And I went into the apartment, and I said, hello. And I took off my coat, and I sat down, and I got out my ukulele, and I started to play the song and sing it. And she sat there, and her little dog, just a cute Maltese named Pansy, they both sat there, and my mother was tapping her foot, and Pansy was listening. And I played the song, and she clapped, and I felt like I had finally received that unconditional love just in that small moment. It felt like it healed everything. And then she became my greatest supporter. And I just wanted to share that because
what a beautiful thing, Martha.
Today. She's still on the planet. She lives with my crazy sister. And she's not getting the care that I would have given her. But whenever I talk to her, she is 1,000% on my side. And I know it. And there's only one mother in the world. And you only have one. And the fact of the matter is, as screwed up as she was, I know that she cares about me more than anyone in the world.
Martha, thank you so much for calling in. Do check out our website, thepositivemind.com.
I will.
We do magic there.
Thank you so much. And thank you for letting me share my heart today.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be in touch again. Thank you for calling in. Well, this is Armand DeMille. I'm sure if we continued, it would go on for quite a while. Hey, what could I tell you? A lot of feelings, huh? Parenting is tough. Parenting is beautiful. Sometimes parenting is negligent. Whatever you feel, my friends. And here's Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child by Ramsey Lewis.